Luke 18. Luke 18. I want us to talk about faith and prayer. Amen? Faith and prayer. And you know, Kay, I guess the reason that we had to put this sermon off a couple of weeks because I didn't really have faith and prayer in this sermon till I kept on studying and how God was showing us that everything is really focused around faith and prayer. We look at Luke 18, starting with verse 9. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Oh, I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. God, again, we come to you with thankful hearts. Lord, we're just so thankful for this church. We're just so thankful for each one here. And God, I'm just so thankful that you give me the opportunity to speak, just to lift up your holy name, your holy word. God, I just pray for this message, God, that you would apply it to our hearts. God, we just pray if there's anyone lost that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would be saved today. And God, we just love you. We just ask that you would be with this message and continue to guide, lead, and direct. We ask this in your name. Amen. We find where Jesus is telling a story, a parable. And it's about prayer. Look in verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to the end, says that men ought always to pray and not faint, not give up, to have that faith. Well, have we been faithful this past year? Have we prayed probably more than we've ever prayed this last year? How that our world has just been turned upside down. God wants us, and I want to remind you, and I want to remind myself, God is still in control. Amen. God. Boy, that was weak. God is still in control. Let's stop and do something. You know, I pastor over at New Liberty and been there 15 years, and they haven't run me off yet. But you know, New Liberty folks was kind of like y'all when I got there. You know, boy, they was just wanting to say amen so bad, but they would forget. And so I had a little deal going on here. Boy, when I would be preaching and I would think, boy, now would be a good time for everyone to shout amen, I would just stop and do this. And everybody says amen. Let's try it. Amen. Now, you getting it? Amen. Okay, so we're talking about faith and prayer. Amen. Okay, they got it now. Faith and prayer and how Jesus is talking. Jesus is... I'm amazed at all you young people. Man, this is just a good crowd. This is good to see these young people here. And you old folks too. But as we look back a few chapters, I found some things in the book of Luke that was totally amazing. Backing up to chapter 17 and verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that amazing how that the apostles, the followers of Jesus, how that they was wanting as they was watching Jesus. It says, Lord, increase our faith. And I think that should be one of our messages today. Let's back on up to chapter 11, verse 1. We find here, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. So I began to see a pattern here that the disciples was wanting to know about prayer. The disciples was wanting their faith increased. What about you and I? Let's back up to chapter 8, verse 48. And he said unto him, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And then chapter 8, verse 25. He said unto them, Where is your faith? Well, okay, let's go back to chapter 18. Kindly to give us a background on what's going on. And how in chapter 18 we find the story, how that in verse 2 through verse 8 we find the widow woman there, how that she had faith. And then in the scripture starts in verse 9, Jesus is teaching prayer. So I'd never put that together before, how that Jesus was continuing to teach about faith and about prayer. So we find here that the parable or story, that which trusted in themselves. You know, a lot of times if we get self out of the way, God can work. When we get self out of the way, because we always want self. Why is it Satan wants us to be puffed up? Why is it Satan wants us to have the attention rather than to give it to all of the glory to the Lord? We find that they were trusting in themselves. And then Jesus starts this story. It says two men went into the temple to pray. Faith and prayer. Two men, one a Pharisee, one a publican. Now, I wonder why Jesus chose these two type of people to get our attention. Because they were not very famous people at that time. Kind of like the Samaritans. Remember the Good Samaritan story where Jesus talked about this group of people that... Isn't it amazing how God has made everybody... And God just loves everybody. Here we find that two men went in the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. Who's the Pharisee? A Pharisee is a group of religious people. But they didn't know the Lord as Savior. We find so much religion in our world today. It's amazing. It's amazing how many different types of religion. But folks, I want to tell you, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, all you have is religion. Amen? That's all you have. So we find here that Jesus was trying to tell and to show. You remember John chapter 3 where Nicodemus, a Pharisee, come to Jesus by night. And he says, Jesus, we know. We who? We the other Pharisees know that you are a man that's come from God because nobody can do these miracles. Nobody can do these things except they come from God. And isn't it amazing? Jesus looked at him and said, you must be born again. Faith and prayer. Isn't it amazing how Jesus just rolled that right up? Didn't try to prove himself who he was. Didn't try to do this. Didn't try to do that. So we find that this Pharisee stood and prayed. The scriptures doesn't say if there was anybody else in the temple or not. I kindly believe that they were. These two men come into the temple to pray. One being a Pharisee. And the scripture says that he came and how he began to talk about self. Can't you just picture this man as he rears back and he's popping them suspenders? Oh, I'm glad I'm not like y'all. I'm glad I'm not like this. I'm glad I'm not. Oh, I fast twice a day. I do this. I give up. Isn't it funny how sometimes we have to remind God of the good deeds we've done? Or am I the only one? Oh, Lord, I made three visits this week. Why is this problem happening? Oh, Lord, I've been studying. And oh, Lord, I do this. God knows what we've done. He also knows what we haven't done. Amen. This Pharisee standing up, look at me. Look at me, look at me, look at me. What it say in Matthew? They have their reward. because he was expecting the people to look at him. These people were so smart, they could probably quote most of the Old Testament Bible, or all of it. You remember in John 3 talking about Nicodemus, how he was a Pharisee. Then Jesus began to talk about these things, about the Spirit and the faith and the prayer. And Nicodemus kept asking him about the... He said, "You're a ruler of Israel and you know not these things?" And then he told him a simple story, a story that he knew he would know. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." How that there were snakes everywhere. You remember that story? And the people came to Moses and said, "Moses, we have sinned against God. Pray that God would remove the snakes." Now let's take a time out here, because this is something that I had to learn over the years. This is something very special, talking about faith and prayer. The children of Israel realized that they had sinned. They had realized that they needed to ask forgiveness of sin. They realized they needed to come to their spiritual leader, Moses. Moses prayed that God would remove these snakes. Moses prayed that prayer. God answered the prayer, but he didn't remove the snakes. Whoa, wait a minute, preacher. What are you saying? How many times do we pray a prayer, and in our eyesight, there's one way that this prayer needs to be answered? And when that one way is not answered, "God didn't answer my prayer." But look around, because when God closes one door, he opens another one. Faith and prayer. So we find here this Pharisee, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and John, as Jesus is talking about Pharisee here in Luke, we find faith and prayer. So now let's look at the publican. Two men went into the temple to pray. One didn't walk on down here in front of the crowd. One kind of stood back there at the back. Look at, see what it says in verse 13. The publican, standing afar off, he would not lift up so much his eyes toward heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So I want us to look at the publican. There's six things that I found that the publican knew. Six things that the publican knew. Number one, he knew who he was. A sinner. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I had some good advice several years ago when I surrendered to preach. Pastor come to me one time. We got to talking about preaching salvation, and he looked at me and he says, "You got to get them lost before you can get them saved." Now think about that for a second. Someone that doesn't realize that they're a sinner, someone that doesn't realize they're lost, are not under conviction to be saved. How many times you knock? "I'm pastor of so-and-so church. We'd like to have you to come down." "Well, I'm just as good as old so-and-so you got down there." Well, if you're good as Jesus, amen. So, you know, we find that if a person is not under conviction, if a person does not understand sin, so let's talk about it a minute. Sin started in Genesis with Adam and Eve. Oh, you know the story. God created everything. God created man. God took a rib from man and made a woman, and he placed a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden. Beautiful garden. Beautiful garden. And he gave them instructions. Yeah, they had to work. Dress and to take care of this garden. Okay, God. God said, "But there's one thing you must not do. Do not take of the fruit of this tree. Anything else you can eat, anything else you can have. But this one tree, don't touch it." Okay. What happened? They took the fruit. It kind of reminds me, and I say this a lot, you remember those old space heaters we used to have in our house with the open flames in them? I still have some. And you can tell your kids, when Carrie was this high and Randy, when you can tell your kids, don't touch the heater, it's hot. And you can tell them that I don't know how many times a day, don't touch the heater, it's hot. What are they going to do? Touch the heater. Why are we that way? So we find that Adam and Eve touched the heater. They took of the fruit, and the scripture says that God then brought them out of the garden and said, why? What terrible sin had they committed? The sin of disobedience. Something that we today use lightly, don't we? But how terrible that was for God to remove them. And you know what? What did we do to make us so bad that we became a sinner? What made us so bad? We were born a sinner. Because from that point, from Adam and Eve's sin, it says in the scripture, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the scripture says in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, we're born a sinner. We're born a sinner. Have you noticed, young adults, when you trying to teach your children, what are you trying to teach them? To do right. Who taught them to do wrong? Who taught them not to share their toys? Who taught them to lie? Who taught them to do this? We're born with that. We spend the rest of our lives trying to teach them to do right. Faith and prayer. As Jesus is trying to teach the disciples. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinning, Christ died for us. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe with all thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we find that sin is very serious. That's why we needed a Savior. We find that this publican knew who he was. He was a sinner. Number two, he knew where he was. He what? Look where he was. Standing afar off. He was afar off from God. He had a distance between him and God. And you know, we as Christians today do that, don't we? We drift off and drift away. And that's where prayer and faith comes back. Having faith that we're going to return. We find the story in Luke chapter 22 where Jesus was arrested. You remember that? Peter is with Jesus. And as the soldiers are carrying Jesus, we find that Peter followed all right, but afar off. Isn't it amazing how that we want to be just close enough to keep our eyes focused on the Lord, but not be hand in hand with the Lord? Amen? Prayer and faith. Prayer and faith is where we need to have that close relationship with the Lord. Prayer and faith, I'm talking about knowing that where we are. And we find here it's amazing how Peter then, how they arrested Jesus, and it says, and Peter then was in the alley, so to speak, of the city, and they could see Jesus afar off. And Peter went and stood by the fire with the world, so to speak. Isn't it amazing how that one of them says, I recognize you. Aren't you one of the disciples? Not me. Not me. Three times this happened, you remember? Before the rooster crowed. What an opportunity God was giving Peter. What an opportunity God was. Couldn't you imagine Peter as he stood up from that fire and says, "Yes, I am one of the 12. Yes, I am. I have followed Jesus for 3 years. Man, I was a fisherman. I was there at the Sea of Galilee when Jesus come by and said, 'Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.' Man, we threw down our nets. We left the boats. We went. We've watched Jesus heal people. We've listened to him preach. We've watched him raise the dead. We've done it." What a testimony. What an opportunity. You ever have an opportunity to witness and you don't? We do, don't we? We do. Folks, I want to tell you, this publican knew who he was. He was a sinner. This publican knew where he was. He was far away from God. Folks, we need a revival in our heart. What about Jonah? You remember how the book of Jonah starts out? How God gave Jonah a job, an opportunity, a place to go preach. And Jonah turned to flee from the presence of God. To flee, to get away, to have that. Jeremiah 6 and 16. Jeremiah 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Not me, the Lord. He says, "Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, and where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest in your soul." Oh, we're always looking for something new. We're always looking for something different. But I want to tell you, the Lord said, get back in those old paths. What old paths is he talking about? He's talking about this right here. The old paths, that they had generations before us, the old past, that they came to the Lord's house and knelt before the altar and prayed. The old past where they preached the Word of God and just pulled down the power of God. This publican knew who he was and he knew where he was. Number three, he knew how he felt. He smote upon his breast, would not even so much look upon his heaven. Folks, he was under conviction. Amen. You don't hear that term a lot anymore. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. You remember the time that you got saved? Think about it a second. Man, you couldn't sleep. You couldn't think. Something's just wrong in your life. Something's wrong in your life. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. Tell you a little story of what happened to us at New Liberty. Shortly after we come to New Liberty, of course, we didn't have near as many young people. Very few young people. So we decided that Saturday morning we're going to run the band. We're going to advertise. We're going to get as many young people as we can. We're going to take them bowling. We're going to feed them pizza. We're going to do whatever they do. So we get up that Saturday morning and it's coming a flood. We're supposed to meet at the church, I don't know, 10 o'clock or so. And here we go at the church. And so I come and I open the door and I come in and several of the parents are pulling in. I mean, boy, they advertised that. We had kids come in there. I didn't even know where they got those kids. Where was they? We had parents bringing kids. The van had pulled up with kids and opened the door and was letting them come in and get out of the rain. There was a little boy and a little girl. About 7, 8 years old, come busting through the door. They wanted to look at the water tank behind the pulpit, okay? I said, "Well, wait a minute, let's go through this door, and I'll show you the baptistry." So we walked in, and of course the little girl walked in, looked in, and, "Well, it doesn't have any water in it." She turned, and she was through. I said, "No, we don't keep water in the water tank, okay?" But the little boy, soon as he looked over in it, he just sat down on the steps going into the baptistry. And before I could say anything, before he said anything, he says, "I've never been baptized." I thought, oh. So I'm fixing to squat down there and tell him the plan of salvation and talk about being baptized. But before the old man could squat down in the steps, he looked up at me with them big eyes and he says, "And I've never been saved, but I sure do want to be." And I'm thinking, wow, This little boy comes sailing in here and he's telling me that he wants to be saved and he wants to be baptized. Whoa, where'd this kid come from? So yes, thank you, Evan. So we find that as I knelt down and I began to ask him, show him some scriptures, talk to him, he knew the whole plan of salvation. He knew about being saved. He knew about the forgiveness of sins. He knew about Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood for you and I. He knew about being baptized into the church. I mean, I thought, wow, where did this kid come from? So I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And I said, well, I'm praying, I want you to pray. You pray Jesus in your life. Okay. I prayed, looked up when I got through, and he's still sitting there. And I'm always expecting to hear something or see something or whatever. And he's just sitting there. I said, did you pray to Jesus? He said, yes, sir. I said, did you ask him to save you? Yes, sir. I'm thinking, you know, I need more than that. And I says, well, did he save you? Yes, sir. I said, well, how do you know he saved you? And he looked up at me and says, because I asked him. I thought, now, faith. Why do we question God when this little boy was taught? Ask forgiveness, confess with your mouth. And he did exactly that. And he looked up at me so funny. Cause I ask him, the conviction that was on his heart. So the story goes on. So I said, okay, I said, you know, several kids is coming into the church, you know. I says, let's get up and let's go down and let's get everybody together. And I says, let's tell them what happened. No. And I said, well, they'll be excited about that you've asked Jesus into your heart. He said, no, I want to wait and tell my mom and daddy when I get home. And I thought, this kid is something. I mean, where did this guy come from? So I said, okay, we'll do that. And I said, you know, I'll make a follow-up visit later. But anyway, okay, we'll do it. But this little boy, as he come out of the door from the baptistry, the van driver was coming in, wiping the water off and mopping his head and doing all, not knowing anything that happened. When this little boy seen that van driver, he shot over there to him like a rocket and throwed them arms around them knees, and he looked up at him and said, I just got saved, but don't tell nobody. You could hear it echoing through the whole church. That is results of salvation. Because if you've got Jesus in your heart, you'll want to tell somebody. Amen. Things that the publican knew. Man, he knew who he was. He was a sinner. He knew where he was. He was apart from God. He knew how he felt the conviction that God was showing him. Flip over a page on chapter 19. Zacchaeus, you remember this story? Zacchaeus, and we find that this which was the chief among the publicans. So we find another publican. But in verse 3 there, he said he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Conviction. So the story is just, the Bible is just full of conviction because God uses the Holy Spirit. He used himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to convict the sins that we have. Folks, I want to tell you the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He knew how he felt. Number 4. The publican knew what he needed. God be merciful. He needed mercy. He knew what he needed. Man, our world today, there is so many people searching and looking and doesn't know what. There's something missing in their life. They're not knowing what they need. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. How many times we flip on the TV, the news or whatever, we see some Hollywood actor that has committed suicide or some billionaire that's committed suicide. You think, man, what is wrong with them? They had everything they could possibly want. All that the world would offer. And going back to that Zacchaeus, said he was rich, but he sought to see Jesus. I always thought that was a funny story. This rich man run through this crowd and climbed a tree waiting for Jesus to come by. Now, you know that the Lord was dealing with him. Man, I ain't going to climb no tree. Them folks are going to laugh at me. Think about that a minute. He didn't care what people was thinking. Folks, when we're convicted by the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures say we ought to obey God rather than men, then it doesn't matter what man thinks. We're going to seek Jesus. Folks, he knew what he needed. In Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, we find the story of the blood. Amen. We find where the blood story goes on, and it talks about Jesus being, but Christ had been come as a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once. Folks, I tell you, all the way through Moses, all the way through the Old Testament, the tabernacle, they would offer their sacrifices. They had the blood atonement, the day of sacrifices, and the blood, they was clean. They were saved for a year through the blood. A year. Kind of like going up out of the courthouse steps when we're coming out paying our quarterly taxes. Man, I'm glad that's over. I paid my taxes, and then it hits you. Got to do it again next year. These people would get saved. They would come and they would be safe for a year. Next year they'd have to do it again. Folks, when Jesus came and shed his blood for you and me, it was once. Amen. One time Jesus came and died on Calvary. One time. One time. He knew what he needed. He needed mercy. Number five. We're getting there. Hang on. Number five, he knew where to get what he needed. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Had a great uncle one time by the name of Uncle Grady. Son by the name of Dale. Dale was grown, had his own car. Still living at home. Cousin Dale started, I guess you'd say, partying, staying out too late at night. Uncle Grady just being a poor farmer. Come in one morning to wake up Dale and say, go out there and hook up the mules that we're going to plow today. This was 5 o'clock in the morning, and Dale was grumbling and says, Daddy, I ain't been home but an hour. I just got in at 4. He said, son, you need to find you a good woman, get married, and settle down. Dale looked at him and he says, Daddy, I can't find a good woman. And Uncle Grady said, no, and you want the places you're looking. Are we looking in the wrong places for happiness? Are we looking in the wrong places for salvation? Are we looking at the wrong places for everything. This is where we need to look, through prayer and faith. The six things that the Pharisee knew as he realized that he was a lost sinner, as the conviction of the Holy Spirit was convicting him, how that he knew what he needed. In Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. Looking in the right direction. Looking in the direction that God has given us. And of course, number six. He knew when he had what he needed. Look what the scripture says. Jesus says, I tell you that this man went to his house justified rather than the other. So many examples of Jesus is he telling them to pick up your bed and to leave, and your the faith has made you whole, and this, that, and other. Being justified? Justified? I heard a great definition of justification or justified. It's a definition that I've never forgotten. Being justified is simply just if I'd never sinned. Hey, doesn't that say it all? Jesus, when he came and died and shed his blood on Calvary, and the scripture says if we will confess with our mind, faith and prayer, knowing that he's Lord. What did the little boy say? Because I ask him. You know you're saved? Because I ask him. How do you know you're saved? Because I ask him. Isn't that amazing? We as adults, we forget that. Oh, God, you've got to get me out of this bind. God, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. And we get up from our prayer and we're still searching for the answer. We've asked him. 1 John 5 and 13. Listen to this verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Prayer and faith. If we prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into our heart and in our life, man, I know I've got a home waiting in glory. I know I've been saved. What if you are sitting here and you're kind of like this Pharisee, this publican, you may know who you are. The Holy Spirit might have showed you or been showing you, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. The scriptures here is showing us that, you know, you are far from God, and the Holy Spirit is have the convicting of your heart that you need to be saved. Folks, I want to tell you, you need to be have the mercy. God is just rich in mercy, the scripture says. God is waiting. God, we come to you as we just lift our hearts toward you. God, we do pray for each one here this morning. That, Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know you as Savior, God, we just pray, Lord, that you would convict them right now. God, is the band comes and they play and they give this invitation, Lord, I just pray, God, if you're lost and if you just need to come to this altar, if you just need to come and talk with any of us, Lord, we'll pray with you. We'll try to show you and we'll try to point you to Calvary. We just love you this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen.